Jim Campolongo, thank you for joining us here on The Checkout.
Well, thanks for having us, Josh.
Your new recording is coming out February 16th. It's called Orange. Just a favorite color?
Well, not really. I mean, the long story, and I guess, you know, I'll tell it, is I had written a song on an orange guitar, and just as a whim called the song Orange. And that's pretty much how the name came about. After that, I was a little fearful that it would be too perky. The color itself, I didn't want it to be pastel or real bright, you know, or tropical.
Well, there's nothing very tropical on here, or nothing too terribly bright, but I am struck, Jim, by just the simple tone of your guitar. I mean, clearly this is something that every guitarist works on, but I think a lot of it, would you agree, has to do with the fact that you play the Telecaster.
Yeah, I mean, I think that has a lot to do with it. The Telecaster is, it's like a Model T. It's the first mass-produced electric solid body guitar, and the one I play is a 59, but it's pretty much been unchanged since 1950. So there's something real basic about that. You know, there's no characteristic that draws attention to itself in a shticky way. I think it's very voice-like. I think it's a very underrated jazz guitar.
It's not one that a lot of jazz people play. I mean, a lot of them play hollow bodies.
Yeah, I mean, it's understandable, too. I mean, why they do that. There's exceptions. There was a guy named Ed Bickert that played, you know, who's a heavy jazz guitar player.
Bill Frisell.
But Bill Frisell switched over recently. I'm going back historically. The country jazz guys like Jimmy Bryant were playing Telecasters. Then there's guys in the middle like Mike Stern, you know,
right,
who's been playing one for years. So in some ways, it's not unprecedented, but certainly, you know, I'd be a little surprised if I saw Jim Hall or Pat Metheny, you know, playing a Telecaster. But I think it's a very voice-like, has a voice-like quality to it. And to me, sometimes I really love jazz guitar. I really love Wes Montgomery. I really love that sound and Charlie Christian. But sometimes a sound like what Joe Pass might get, to me, just for me as an individual, because he's a great artist, isn't as satisfying as hearing Louis Armstrong, you know, now, or Billie Holiday, where there's a lot of sassiness and personality and a little bit of a grind. Sometimes traditional jazz guitar sounds are a little too just the facts for me. I do like that there's a tiny little bit of sassiness in a Telecaster, and that's one of the reasons why I choose to play it.
Jim Campolongo joins us on The Checkout. The new recording is called Orange. And every Monday at the Living Room over on Ludlow Street in the Lower East Side, you'll be performing with your trio. This is like a usual residency that you've had for some time now.
Yeah, we're celebrating our five-year anniversary right now, and it's going to lead into the CD release party, which is happening on February 15th at 10 p.m. at the Living Room, which is on the Lower East Side and in Manhattan. We've been playing there every Monday for 5 years, and which has been great. You know, it gives me a chance to develop and the band to develop organically. I mean, we never rehearse. And if I write a tune, which is often, it's gratifying to be able to play it immediately and in a situation that isn't casual. You know, the intensity of having an audience and in a place you're comfortable gives the music a bit of urgency that, you know, is I guess, a privilege, you know, in today's, you know, day and age. So you could develop the music, and I just pretty much play with people that I trust, you know, so I assume they're going to make the right decision, and that usually they do.
So tell me, what are some of the positive outcomes that have happened as a result of having that kind of workshop environment, you know, where you have the trio, Tony Mason, Stefan Crump on bass, and yourself, where you can kind of, as you say, you know, do the woodshed, but in front of people, so you still have an audience?
Well, for me, it's really loosened me up, and I take a lot of chances. Another thing is we'll approach the song a different way. I mean, the song is the song, and you can't, like, completely redefine it, but definitely, and more in the past year, will improvise much more. Or lately I've been playing like these solo guitar intros to the songs because I've been kind of been listening and studying some George Van Epps. So I've been really into harmony, and sometimes, let's say, if the song is even a blues or whatever, I'll come up with this long intro, and then the band will organically come in. So I guess it just helps me be looser, a better improviser, a better listener. And I really do feel that, you know, in the past few years, I mean, I've grown a lot. And it's really gratifying. I think some of it is just the energy of the city and the quality of players in the city. I mean, for example, we've been doing this Jimi Hendrix cover, Third Stone from the Sun, and I've been really stretching it in the middle. And, you know, I was listening. I kind of went back and listened to the Mahavishnu Orchestra, and I thought, you know, I want to bring some of this, what the inner mounting flame, to some of the improv on Third Stone. And so I didn't try and force it, but at one night I really felt like I had reached this really nice point of where I built the solo, and I was playing kind of fast, and generally I don't think I'm a fast guitar player, or do I play fast? And afterwards I felt like, wow, I had reached this new point in my musicality. And I felt like Stefan Crump and Tony Mason, I always feel like, well, they've been there already. You know, like, I mean, no matter how much I challenge them, I feel like they're comfortable, you know. So I really do respect and feel like lucky to be playing with those guys, and many of the guys I play with in New York. I always learn from them. You know, that's one of the benefits of the gig.
Jim Cavalongo, you mentioned George Van Epps as somebody who you've been listening to recently. I read once where, you know, one of your early guitar instructors, you know, tried to turn you on to that music, but you didn't really want to have anything of it.
Yeah, that's funny you know that.
You're much more interested in Cream at the time.
Yeah, I didn't know that was out in the world, but that is true, and there's a huge irony there, because when I was a kid learning the guitar, I got this guitar. I don't know if you remember green stamps. Anyway, you'd go get gasoline at the, and they gave you these stamps and you'd get booklets. And that's how I got, you know, basically that was my first guitar, green stamp guitar. And the local teacher was this woman named Bunny Gregoire. And I had booked this lesson and because it was in South San Francisco at the Bronstein's Music. And so I went there and she was this 60-year-old beatnik. And, you know, she would talk, and I can't really do it, but like real beatnik lingo, like, well, when a cat plays music and it's, you know, I just very like late 50s lingo. And I remember at the end of the lesson, I thought, wow, I really like this. You know, this is like the most interesting thing that's occurred, that's happened to me thus far in my life. And anyway, she was real hip, and she turned me on to Howard Roberts is a dirty guitar player. She really liked Barney Kessel. She gave me a Blind Lemon Jefferson record for my birthday. And I remember being really disappointed when I went home because it didn't sound like Mike Bloomfield. And about 5 years later, I heard it again. And I've been listening. I still have that record and I still listen to it and think it's incredibly beautiful. But one of the things she wanted me to do was the George Van Epps book, which, and George Van Epps is, you know, just super heady stuff, really about harmony, really about voice leading, playing with specific fingerings in all keys. And at the time, I was really more interested in learning Spoonful by Cream live, note for note. And I was very frustrated that she wouldn't show me this. And I don't think she really knew how, you know. So I remember being very disenchanted and not and kind of learning this stuff, but not feeling like my heart was in it. And so I quit. And I ended up, you know, slowing down Cream Records and slowing down B.B. King Records and Django Reinhardt and all that, and kind of just teaching myself. And I can't believe the irony that like 35 years later, I'm here studying the George Van Epps book. And that's a real tribute to Bunny Gregoire, who, you know, sits on my shoulder at least once or twice a week to this day, you know.
I always say the music will meet you where you are. You know, sometimes you're just simply not ready for something. But then, you know, something very familiar to you in the past comes back and you're ready for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I mean, and I think we're probably all being musicians, like in some way or another, are open to that because it's happened to me so many times where I won't like a record. And then,
but you can't close the door.
You can't close the door. Because the Blind Lemon Jefferson happened, or this happened, or that happened, and now and then I'll keep going back and think, well, maybe this time it'll happen.
Jim Campolongo joins us here on The Checkout. The new CD is called Orange. I really enjoyed the version of Chelsea Bridge. Did you listen to like the original with Ben Webster?
Exactly. Yeah. I really love Ben Webster. There's this one CD I have. I think it's called The Sweet Sounds of Ben Webster. I mean, generally, I won't like a jazz record with strings, even though there's exceptions like Billie Holiday Last Recording or something like that, where I think that's a beautiful record, and I love the string arrangements. And on that record, the Ben Webster record, there is string arrangements, but that is the version I listened to and tried to learn that note for note. So that was the inspiration for me playing it.
Tell me a little bit about Blues for Roy. I'm assuming this is for Roy Buchanan?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us who Roy Buchanan is.
Well, Roy Buchanan's probably, I mean, even though we've talked more about Kareem than I probably would have cared to, but it's all true. Roy Buchanan's probably the reason I do play guitar. I think I was about 12 years old, and I was doing something in the house, and my dad called me into the living room and said, "Hey, you should see this guy play the guitar." And I sat down and watched it, and it was this PBS special called The World's Greatest Unknown Guitar Player. And I remember seeing him detuning while he was playing, and, you know, the music just completely called my name. And so I think, you know, the next day I ran down to the record store and got Roy Buchanan's first record. And ever since then, I guess like myself, really played the whole guitar. I mean,
sure.
You know, played, he was an innovator with volume swells, with tone swells that create voice-like sounds. These aren't shticky. He always used it to say something. I read somewhere that he always tried to have the guitar in his phrases say, "Help me." and I liked Roy that he was really versatile.
Yeah, I mean, on that debut record, I mean, he plays Sweet Dreams.
He plays Sweet Dreams. He plays a song called Pete's Blues, which Blues for Roy is based on.
Yeah.
And that's the song that just changed my life.
What do you hope, Jim Campolongo, that they will discover when they listen to you? What about you do you hope that people will walk away with?
Wow. I don't know. I just hope people feel good, you know. I guess there's a tribal quality and an ancient quality to music that's about community. And I think when on a good night, I feel like there's a single consciousness, you know, at a gig that's circular, like we'll give music and the people give energy back and we translate that energy into music. And, you know, maybe what people could experience through seeing live music is that, you know, we're all very much the same.
Well, Jim Campolongo, thank you for joining us on The Checkout. Much success.
Okay, thanks for having me, Josh.